Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Greetings, hello, welcome to Zed Games. This is Australia's longest running gaming radio program. Heard on 4ZZZ live and broadcast around Australia, thanks to the Community Radio Network. This episode, we are going to be talking all about E3, one of the biggest press conferences as far as gaming goes in the world. But let me introduce myself and my co-host. My name is Razor, and joining me to my immediate left is Alana.
Hello.
Across from me, Miss Candy Payne.
Hi, everybody.
Really appreciate you coming along, even though you're a bit sick, Candy.
Look, I apologize. If my microphone cuts in and out, everybody, it's not the microphone. It's probably my voice. Bear with me. I'll try and sound as sexy as I possibly can with this voice.
Husky.
Husky.
Automatically sexy.
Right.
And also Jody McGregor.
Hello.
Who I also like to refer to as the voice of reason.
The voice of cynicism.
So we've got a buttload of E3 news to talk about, reveal, and discuss. We are going to drop all of the news that we think is worthy about the Electronics Entertainment Expo that's happening this week in Los Angeles, USA. It started off as a press conference, an opportunity for the big companies to sort of to get all the journalists aside and let them know what their plans are for the next year. But it has grown to such an extent now that they live stream all of the major press conferences.
It's a gigantic showcase, really. Yep. It's their chance to shine.
It's the biggest gaming convention of its sort in the world. Mm. And gaming companies, publishers, and the console manufacturers usually use it as an opportunity to let everyone know what their plans are for the next year and also to drop some important announcements. Typically, they've announced consoles and big major releases there as well.
Yeah. It's a very large dog and pony show.
That's right.
For console gamers.
So we're going to break down each of the different companies. We're going to kind of list all the major announcements that they made and give you our opinions on them. But first, let's go around the room and just talk about our personal highlights of the announcements that we've seen so far. Jody, what was yours?
Mine was a surprise that came from Nintendo. We're used to them, you know, rolling out, here's the new Mario game, here's the new Zelda game. And this year, the most interesting thing they did was something new. It's an online multiplayer game for the Wii U called Splatoon, where it's about kids with paintball guns shooting ink at each other. So that's how you can have an online shooter that's kid-friendly and very Nintendo-looking. And it's got this really cute Pixar kind of art style and this bizarre mechanic where you win the game by spraying your color of paint all over the map. And your color of paint makes you move faster when you're gliding across it, and also lets you, and this is the weird idea, transform into a squid and swim through the ink. So you're kids with paintball guns who can transform into squids.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a Wii U game, right?
That's right.
Yeah, crazy. Candy, what stole the show for you?
I don't like those words. Nothing really stole the show for me. I'm not going to lie.
Was there anything that rose above the rest of the rubbish then?
This year I was looking for something different because, you know, last year Watch Dogs was the one that I raved about for like 20 minutes after a 5-second trailer. I thought it was awesome. So this year I was looking for something different that wasn't sci-fi, wasn't another revolution, it wasn't more guns, boring. So Sunset Overdrive kind of stuck out just a little bit. It was just different. It's not something I've seen before. It was like some crazy energy drink that's turned everyone into monsters. It has a roaringly annoying main character, but at the same time I loved him because he was such a dick. And that's kind of, it's colorful, it's bright, he's running around shooting people, bouncing off things. Like, it just looked, I would like to see a lot more.
It's like an Insomniac game except on crack.
Yeah.
I just got really annoyed. I found it really obnoxious and, like, childish, and everything he said just pissed me off. But I'm still going to play it because the gameplay looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, it's like your shoes are basically a skateboard and you can grind and do flips everywhere, and it's third-person shooty business. And I don't really know if there'll be much of a story, but
it
definitely looks
like
different.
Crazy, cartoonish, fun, colourful. It was just different, you know? Mm. Like, I was so sick of 25 effing sci-fi trailers. I was so bored by the end of it. But this came out and it just made me laugh, and I'm up for it.
It struck me as a perfect blend between Jet Set Radio and the powers from the first Infamous, but he's wearing the costume of the guy from the third Infamous.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like the Gorillaz film clips as a video game.
Very much like that. And
what
that's
I found particularly weird about it was, like, during the conference when they announced that game, they were like, we're going to let you, the player, be the hero. And I'm like, you mean like every RPG? Like, I didn't know why they were saying that. Like, they were so proud of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure most games do that, but thank you.
He was just kind of smart-ass. Like, oh, wait, I'm not the main character. I'm not the superhero. Oh, no, you are. That was nice. Anyway,
Alana, what was your highlight of E3?
Look, I had a few, but mine was definitely The Witcher 3. Obviously, there's been a lot of trailers and there's been a little bit of gameplay, but the latest gameplay, specifically the Microsoft one, is like Geralt in this just beautiful, lush forest that's super green. I was kind of expecting the game to look more monotone, like kind of like Skyrim, you know, how it's just all bleak. Mm-hmm. But it's actually just like this beautiful fantasy world, and then in the end you go to like a town. And I already love all the gameplay in The Witcher games, and I know that it'll be just as complex, but seeing it look that pretty and fantasy-y and not in a, you know, gritty kind of way just made me even more excited.
And you get to hunt a griffin, right?
You do, and if the griffin runs away, you can track it down by chasing its blood trails.
Sweet.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm so looking forward to The Witcher 3. It looks incredible. My personal highlight was probably No Man's Sky, which is a PC and PS4 game. The art direction for me was just phenomenal. It's a first-person game. It's all like bright neon colors. And you, when you start the game, each player begins on their own planet to give you an idea of what the scale of the game is. So you spawn and you're on your own planet. You explore it. You sort of chart wildlife and plants. And then you can get into a spaceship and just fly off into the space without any loading time. And then, you know, when you're in space, you have to go through asteroid fields and there's like battles in space and stuff. And then you eventually land on another planet, which you can then explore in the same fashion. And it's a kind of a multiplayer game like that. And the scale is absolutely phenomenal. And it sort of strikes me as a blend of Minecraft and Starbound.
I was going to say there's definitely Minecrafty things about it, like especially the scale of it made me think of Minecraft. And yeah, I think that game looks, more than anything, it just stood out as being extremely pretty.
Yeah, and it's procedurally generated as well and infinite. So you can never run out of planets to explore. And, you know, it's a game where the creators of the game can sit down and play it and they, you know, even they won't know what to expect. Well, to a degree.
The colours was a good thing to mention, actually, because that's the first thing. Like, I was not at all interested in this. I'm sorry. But the colours, like, I was watching it and there was something very, like, 1960s kind of Star Trek scenery about it, you know?
Like a paperback novel cover from, like, some Heinlein book from the 60s.
Yeah, and so, yes, the artwork I can very much appreciate.
Also, the fact that it looks probably, for me, like it looked like the best game of the show, but it was done by a really tiny independent studio. And that was something that surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, the game of the entire conference that I wanted to know more about was this like tiny little 3-second clip of this game that was called Planet at the ID at Xbox when they're like talking about independent game developers. And it was just this tiny little astronaut just like doing some platforming junk on this like really bland planet.
Yes.
But
oh,
it just looked awesome.
And that's like Planet.
Yeah, it's called Planet. And that's just like the one thing that I was like, man, I want to play the crap out of that. And all we saw was like 3-4 seconds.
Yep.
Space.
Okay, we're going to take a song break now, play some music. But when we come back, we're going to go through as much of the content as we can, dropping all of the major announcements and commenting on those. But let's hear a track. You're listening to Zed Games, and we are talking about E3, or the Electronics Entertainment Expo, happening this week in Los Angeles, USA. The first press conference we're going to talk about is the Microsoft one. What was your overall impression of that one, Candy?
Well, overall impression, watching it on a screen, I liked the little glowing bracelets. That was great. That was nice and inclusive for everybody in the audience. I liked that all the lights timed with what was happening on stage. I liked that they came out. I feel like they had to work really hard, first of all, because the last time they announced stuff, it was not well received. I think that I was a little bit bored by the end of it. It was literally just 20 game trailers. And I know they came out and they said tonight that is all we're going to focus on. And that's the first time they've ever done that. And that's great. Like, I've got no problem with that being that. But I just think the 20 games that they released were not terribly exciting.
Yeah. They came out and they had two messages, I think. The first one was, we're all about the games.
Yep.
And the second one was, we are listening to you, the customer, and we will continue to do so.
Yeah. And
the third one was, oh, my God, Halo.
Oh, yeah. And Halo, and, you know, we launched with Halo, and Halo is a big part of everything, and we've got more Halo stone coming, you know, it's coming out again. We remastered everything. Great.
Yeah. So let's probably talk about the biggest announcement that they made, in my opinion, and that is Halo the Master Chief Collection, which is coming out on November the 11th for the Xbox One. It's the first four Halo games all on one disc.
And anyone else? The multiplayer maps for all of them. So
yeah, so it's like over 100 multiplayer maps all on one disc, all interface, all on one interface, which is like probably the biggest amount of multiplayer maps for any one disc ever. And the fact that Halo 2 is virtually untouched, except for obviously better graphics, is a pretty big deal. I was really worried that they would Halo 4 it, or, you know, Call of Duty-ize it, but they've kept it the same, and that game was like super popular and really made Xbox Live on the original Xbox, so that's very good to see.
Yeah, that got a lot of applause from the audience too for just being that.
The same.
Yeah, exactly.
What I liked was the fact that you have your classic mode, so you can play it as they were, and then they've also remastered it and done a HD update as well.
Yeah.
So you can kind of switch back and forth between those two modes, depending on whether you're playing it for nostalgia or if you're just a newcomer to the series.
And they also mentioned Halo 5 again, which is now Halo 5 Guardians. Mm. But was all they showed off the multiplayer? There's this arena combat mode, and that was sort of all they told you about?
Yeah, and a very vague trailer, but there isn't really much information about it. And there's something called, I think it's like Halo 5 Shadowfall? Halo Shadowfall? It's like a mini TV series that's coming out alongside it that's going to help develop the story, which is interesting. But Halo 5, we don't really know anything about at this point. Yep. Except it starts with, like, Master Chief falling out of a ship again.
They also, I'm not sure if they announced it or whether it was the debut of gameplay footage, but they talked about Fable Legends.
Yeah.
Which is a cooperative
game. That wasn't an announcement. That was just, like, the first time that we've actually heard anything or any details about it. So it had been announced before, but it's now, a four-player, multiplayer, co-op game. Yeah.
It's four versus one.
Yeah.
So you've got one person as the villain and four people as the hero.
I took a lot of notes on this because I actually was quite interested, and I really like that you can be like this godlike character, the evil person kind of watching from above.
It's almost like the one guy who controls the gamepad on every Wii U game.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're playing as, is the one with all the control.
Yeah. Like a dungeon master.
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently the way that the interaction with the villains and the players actually goes will affect the story as well. And apparently there are countless different endings, which is cool too.
Another game that has the four versus one thing going on that wasn't announced, but they did show us some more footage of at the Microsoft press conference was Evolve.
Yes.
And that's a game by the guys who made Left 4 Dead.
Turtle Rock.
Yeah, and you can there's like different classes, like medic, commando and sniper or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on those.
And they have jetpacks.
Yep.
I'm interested in playing as the monster.
Mm. Yeah.
Like that actually is what I most want to do in that game, is just play the bad guy and just see what the hell that's
it's
like.
It's supposed to be likened to playing as a tank, like in Left 4 Dead, if you were a tank and you're playing against the team.
Yeah.
Which is extremely hard, so I'm kind of concerned about the power balance there.
Apparently, if they take a long time to find you, you can level up by hunting smaller creatures and get stronger and stronger, and then eventually take on their base. So if you get to a certain point, you can stop letting them hunt you and turn it around and go for them.
Very cool. Though the monster thingy, I just don't understand what it is. It's just some kind of sci-fi thing.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different monsters.
But it's also like octopus looking.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like a kraken.
Well, there's a kraken.
There's multiple monsters you can choose from. Yeah. One of them is that four-eyed squid thing, but then there's also like a giant dragon-y thing and other stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Microsoft also announced a new Crackdown game.
And said nothing about it.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
They didn't need to. It's like the audience for this is going to holler no matter what we do.
So, yeah,
like,
that they
it's got explosions
know.
In it.
Yeah.
Like, it's Crackdown 1 was received really well. Crackdown 2 was received terribly. It's like they were like, maybe if we just show a trailer and not any gameplay, no one will get mad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, it's still a very surprising announcement, especially to be as an exclusive that they're marketing. Like, I mean, you guys could have done better. Can you make that team work on something that's not Crackdown? It still looks good, though.
They also, this is a big announcement, I think, Scalebound, which is the new game from Platinum Games. Mm. And it's all about hunting and tracking down dragons.
I thought you were riding dragons, hunting other monsters. The trailer's kind of a twisty thing. Like, it starts out as though you're fighting the dragon, and then you and a whole bunch of dragons are fighting other monsters.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you've got this dragon armor that you wear.
So yeah, it's sort of like aura. It as you fighting dragons, but maybe not.
Yeah,
oh,
I think, you fight them. I think that's what they wanted you to think. They were like, oh, look, it's another game like Skyrim, and then they turn it around on you, and the dragons are actually your friends, which is
awesome. Oh, man, I was way off with what I watched, and I totally thought it was all some massive dragon hunting.
Either way, I'm sold. Clever. I don't mind.
The fact that we've just talked about and all seen something different with like a 10-second trailer, I think we should play it.
Another big one that they mentioned was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes. Literally all I wrote down was yes. Yeah. I'm done.
I don't think that one's an Xbox One exclusive, but I think it has either timed exclusive DLC or something for the Xbox One.
Yeah, probably.
But that looks good. I mean, it's a sequel to the Tomb Raider game.
Looks great.
Yeah.
It was kind of exactly the same, but I don't know if I can complain, really. I've also got a question here from Alex Walker. Since you're on the topic of Microsoft, what did you all think of the conference's production quality compared to other conferences?
Better.
Yeah, I felt overall there was it was action-packed, jammed full of, you know, really high-quality polished stuff. I felt like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I liked the flow of it.
Yeah.
And during the downtime, they just had other developers talking about, like, what their first game was, favorite gaming memories and all that.
Yeah, that was actually really cool. And I also just was really, really happy that they included indie games.
Yep.
Huh. I actually just thought it was more polished. I mean, anybody can walk in and hang a bunch of, like, giant plasma screens onto a rig. But these guys, there was just something a bit better. People were announced better. I noticed a lot of the time I was watching, like, through Sony, and I was like, who the hell am I watching? They haven't said who they are.
A lot of the Ubisoft ones were awkward, too.
Yeah, they were that like, kind this of thing. Yeah, but this, you know, like, it was facilitated. They had people introducing them. It was just a bit smoother.
Yeah, I think the production qualities were definitely better than Sony's.
Yeah.
Yeah, the flow is a lot better as well.
Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly just wrap up the Microsoft stuff before we move on to other topics. They also showed trailers for Witcher 3, a Phantom Dust remake.
Yeah, what is Phantom Dust? Anyone?
Something before my time. I have no idea. And they're like, we're remaking
Xbox.
This game.
And they were like, congratulations, everyone. And I was like,
I am
what is
so
that?
Happy to come in here and hear you all say that because I was like, shit, what the hell's Phantom Dust?
It's looks cool, though.
Everyone's like, it's a reboot. And this guy's like, I love rebooting games. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck it is. Yeah. Like, what
as
did
soon
I
as
miss?
I said that, I was like, please make it some kind of, like, I think it is a Rare game, but make it some kind of Rare game from the 64. And he was like, I'm so excited about this. And I was like, God, let it be Banjo-3. And then they were just like, nope. It's this game you've never heard of.
Yeah.
So, listeners, we'll Google that and find out.
We also saw some trailers for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Forza Horizon 2.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Unity got a big thing, and there's like four assassins set in the French Revolution.
We can mention more with that, with the Ubisoft stuff, because they did really want to plug the hell out of that.
Yeah, we should talk about that in Ubisoft.
Yeah.
There's the Inside as well, that kind of limbo-like, you know, dark-looking little boy running around lost.
Yeah, that was adorable.
Yeah. I really like. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know it looks like another Limbo game,
that's
but
all
I
thought
play
another Limbo. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know,
but creepier.
The amount that I love.
Maybe not.
No, I actually wrote that down. I said I felt like it was more stressful. I don't know if that's because there was other people in it or what. There was something
I felt
tense anxious
in that all the other people were just standing there, like kind of robotic.
Yep.
Just doing
we
nothing.
Got the
I
same
felt
feeling.
Tense.
Yeah, yep. I was getting anxious about it. So
I never need to play an indie game about a scared child ever again.
Aww.
But that's all there is.
Apparently.
What will you play?
And they also announced Dead Rising 3 DLC, which dropped that night and is available now. And that's Capcom.
Called Super Ultra?
Mega Hyper.
Yeah.
Super Fantastic.
I love
Hyper.
I thought that was a very good joke of Capcom because they are really guilty of giving their games stupid names.
Yeah.
But I felt like that was good of them.
That
good
came
joke.
Out. I just laughed.
Yeah.
You're listening to Zed Games. We're talking all about the news that we heard at E3. And we're going to talk now about the Electronic Arts press conference.
EA Games.
So they started off with Star Wars stuff. They're working on a Star Wars Battlefront game, which is in development by DICE, the creators of Battlefield. Not much to show of the actual game. They kind of showed a bunch of dudes like going around to different like the sets of the movie and like doing research and stuff. They just said, basically, we're working on this game. Nothing to see here, but yeah, it's coming out
and
eventually.
We've put in a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
The screenshot that I saw of a snow speeder flying across Hoth was all I needed to see. It was like, money down, sold.
And the same with Mass Effect. We know there's a Mass Effect game, a new one in development, but they haven't shown us anything or even given us a title.
I think like all they actually had to say about it was that there was a lot more space, which sounds good, I guess.
Dragon Age Inquisition is coming out on October 7th. We already knew that, but they showed us more about the battle system and some of the characters that you'll see. The battle system looks like a return to the first game's tactical system, where you kind of pause the game and you can position your dudes and your party in different places, almost like in a turn-based way.
Mm-hmm. Almost, but like in a crap way.
Yeah. I didn't think it looked like that.
Yeah, there was one part where you pause the game and then you have an overhead view and then it's more tactical.
That may have been like one part, but I'm pretty sure the rest of it just looks like third-person action from what I can tell. I guess they haven't said anything, but to me it looked a lot like Kingdoms of Amalur or like Fable 1 gameplay. There was just like, you know, giant flaming balls flying down from the sky and just this one dude, you know, hacking at people with flaming swords and stuff. And
lots of flaming.
I don't know. Yeah, which is good, right? I'm into that.
Yeah. But are you guys looking forward to Dragon Age Inquisition?
I personally am, having not played any of the other Dragon Age games.
Having played the others, I am not.
Nah.
I have played both of them, and I'm looking forward to it. I know that Dragon Age 2 was considered a misstep, but I'm hoping that they can rectify that.
Well, they've definitely put a lot of money into rectifying it.
Okay, then they showed off a few things about The Sims 4. They showed us the character creation system, how detailed the world is going to be and how the people were going to interact.
What did they say? They said, you don't just control your Sims' bodies and minds now, you can also control their hearts.
I think that you was could the do that in quote. The last one when you made them like get together and have babies.
No, that was like honestly, you being manipulative.
That was
you
controlling
this time,
their genitals.
This,
well, that's
this time
I need.
It's meant in like a loving way. And
how?
I don't know, nah. You can give them more personality traits and their personality traits will like influence how they interact with everything. You know how like in the last one some of them were like cranky, but in this one if they like are cranky they're more likely to get in a fight and then make an enemy and then keep that enemy and then it'll affect how they are at work and they won't just get over it because you gave them the right amount of sleep and food and put them on a computer for a few hours.
Yeah.
I think it's more lasting.
You know what, I used to be such a Sims fan and I'm just not.
Anything just, with I'm a detailed faded. Character creation menu, I will play.
If I can't put that little blue gnome in and just have all the money in the world, I'm not interested in playing anymore. The well, end.
The character creation system looks a lot better than in previous Sims games, but also in a lot of other games as well. Like, you kind of sculpt your Sim using the mouse. You can kind of grab its cheek and pull it out, and you kind of...
Oh, so we're photoshopping in Sims now,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it's like you're sculpting a person out of clay instead of just, like, a, you know, tuning a billion sliders.
Yeah, you know what? That's where I spend all of my time, though.
Me too, that's why I'm excited.
Just making my little person, and then once I've made my person, I'm like, okay, I'm over this
I'm like,
crap.
I'm going to make one that looks like me, and then one that looks like every other person that I know, and it's going to be great. But you can also, this time... upload them to some kind of cloud thing so other people can like download your Sims and you can also like download other people's Sims. So if you have friends playing, you can literally like share each other.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
At the other end of the spectrum, EA was showing Battlefield Hardline, mm-hmm. which is Battlefield 4 with cops and robbers.
I just can't get over the name Hardline.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate.
With cops and robbers, though, I did like that.
Yeah.
But it looks like watching several minutes of gameplay, it's just Battlefield 4 without tanks. There's, like, the capture the flag mode is you picking up a bag of money instead of capturing a flag. But it is literally, it looks like Battlefield 4 DLC. It does not look like a new game based around cops versus robbers.
No, you go, Ray.
But it is a different developer than the core series.
Which is why I had my hopes up and they were dashed.
Okay, I think it looks different, but probably not that different. But in any case, it's impossible to make a shooter look that different. Unless you're Ubisoft, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's move. I'll just mention a few things quickly about other things that EA said. Criterion Games, who are known for their Burnout series, they're working on a new IP, which is extreme vehicle stunts, and they're inspired by POV extreme YouTube videos.
Right.
Being GoPros and stuff.
Yeah. And they also talked about Dawngate, which is their MOBA clone. They went through all their usual annual sports franchises and stuff like
apparently
that.
Apparently going to be fixing Madden because Madden has apparently been bad for Madden fans. I haven't played Madden and I'm not a fan, so I don't know.
Look,
none
Madden's
of us have any idea.
Just not relevant to us here in Australia. But let's now quickly move on to Ubisoft's press conference, which I believe was a lot better and more entertaining. Thanks mostly to Aisha Tyler, who was the host.
Oh, God, she's awesome.
She is.
Hot. Yeah. Awesome.
So they started off pretty strong with a showing of Far Cry 4. Yeah, so that's coming out on November the 21st. And
I think I saw an automatic crossbow in there, which is
like
cool
as heck. Yeah, a stealth crossbow.
Yes, and wingsuits again, elephants like knocking over things and causing explosions, and the scenery was absolutely beautiful. I love snow.
And there's two-player co-op.
Yes.
So you can
but
like...
not the bad kind in Far Cry 3.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It looks pretty cool, and the graphics were impressive. Like all Ubisoft games.
Yeah. The villain looks like Julian Assange, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh my god, he does.
Oh my god, that's who it is. I was staring at it too, and I was like,
I'm uncomfortable
with that. Why he looks familiar.
Wow.
Yeah, this was one of the few games that, you know, it's okay that they're kind of doing the same thing again, because I'm happy. I liked the last one and I want to play it, and I don't feel like it's been overdone yet.
I think that's what I was like with Assassin's Creed for a while, and now I'm like, stop. Just stop it. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks pretty, one-to-one scale Paris that they have actually shown off at the conference, and you can have like three of your other buddies play in with you. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but it seems like campaign
style. I don't care. I've done the revolution.
See,
just
it looks cool, but you're still like, stop with the same thing.
We've completely turned around. This is the Assassin's Creed that I want to play because of one thing. There's a hide button. You don't have that contextual crouching where you have to like walk up to something and then hope that you don't jump over it when you press a button. There's actually just a button for crouching.
Oh,
and there's
time.
Like 30 seconds in the gameplay that they showed where a guy sneaks through a room by crouching. And
but everything
it
else
looks like
the
an
same.
Actual stealth game.
I have been one of the longest running fans of this game. I have no doubt that I will buy it. I've just noticed that with each release of Assassins, I'm just getting less and less excited. I did love watching the gameplay. It was pretty spectacular, swinging himself up onto the side of the building and then launching through another window, but being able to continue the gameplay that way, whereas last time if you'd run in through a door, it was like just a little escape route. And, you know, like there's just been nifty little additions, and it looks fabulous.
There are additions, but they're nothing that stands out from any other game.
Thank you.
You know, other games do it better.
It does look pretty, though. Remember that scene when there's the crowd of people and it looks less like a video game crowd, you know, with a couple of dozen people there, and it more like a real-life crowd. I mean, there were hundreds of people in that square, and I was kind of blown away by the graphic realism there.
Oh, the graphic realism when he held the head up at the end. Now, that was a good way to finish. I got all the way through that, and it wasn't until that last 3 seconds with that dude's head.
Until there was gore.
Salt. And I was like, dude, this is something I've not seen in Assassins before, and
should mention Assassin's Creed Unity is the first Assassin's Creed game to ever be only on new gen. So it's going to be on Xbox One, PC, and the PS4.
Save my pennies and buy a new box.
But, you know, Ubisoft, we have to be wary of them now with their presses because, you know, with Watch Dogs 2012, they showed off something that was really pretty that didn't live up to the reality.
Yeah, it's this different, but it's still good.
You should be skeptical of all press events, surely. Yeah. Not just the people who made that one you remember.
But they
all
did.
Of them ever.
That's their design to manipulate you. So
but with
that.
Assassins, I just simply want to know, am I going to be able to enjoy it as much if I don't have three other friends in my little Assassin's posse?
Yep.
I would think so.
Mm. And are you upset at all that about the fact that there's four assassins but not one of them is a female character?
That pisses me off.
But they're all white, too.
Their excuse is pretty lame.
Yeah, I've just... Well,
their excuse is a lie.
Like, that could have been just the one little thing to make it different, which is that one little hook for me, like, oh, I get to play some cool assassin chick for a change.
Yeah, see, their excuse for it was that it would be, like, it'd take a really long time for them to animate. That's a lie. They use the exact same animations. It's just that they would actually have to, like, have a different character model, which they would have anyway, because there would be characters in the world that would have a female character model.
Plus, they have the multiplayer mode where
you can be a female.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I don't know. I'm just...
On a lighter note... Tom Clancy's The Division looks fantastic, which is another third-person, seemingly open world.
Yeah, like it's sort of an MMO. You play with other people online.
Yeah, and it's like a really worn-out New York. And one of the trailers that we saw was just super depressing. But it was sort of like a time lapse of watching New York decay, and
it was a really interesting deconstructed
of the events that had happened.
That's
to
exactly
lead to
what it was.
So it was just, you know, sort of giving me a Fallout vibe. Yep. Except that it is more focused on action, I think, and against other players. And they also announced what stole that conference for me, and probably what was their focus, is a new Rainbow Six called Rainbow Six Siege. It's been 6 years since Rainbow Six Vegas 2, which is my favorite shooter ever. And the new one looks just as tactical as the others, which is exactly why I love Rainbow Six games so much.
I saw that trailer and thought it looked really fake.
Really? How so?
Yeah, I'm sitting on Jody's side. I was bored.
Listening to those players talk, it just felt like they were reading overly scripted dialogue.
They probably were.
Well, no, they definitely were. Yeah. There's even moments where, like, the main player says "you" to someone, and that person knows who he's talking to.
Okay, guys, we're going to go in from the roof.
They're playing a video game. Like, no one knows who you're looking at, dude. Yeah. Like, you're obviously lying. And so that made me even more suspicious than I usually am of the gameplay, which...
Yeah, because in real life, people are sitting there crunching chips and making noise like, so I'm just going to come in from the top.
And that's not when they have some... when their mic faced towards some bad rap song and then you have to mute them, or someone just muttering, like, racial slurs over and over again.
Yeah,
that's what really happens.
And that is what it's like in real life, kids.
But in Rainbow Six, you can't do that because you actually are in control of an entire squad and you command everything they do. Like, you can be like... you know, enter this room stealthily or enter with, like, a flashbang or go through the windows, or you can, like, split people up. You, like, are fully in control of those games, and that's, like, specifically why I like them so much, and I feel like that's probably a way to make you feel more involved in those tactics, which wouldn't be hard.
This showed four people versus four people, though, with each person controlling an individual character.
And I thought they were only controlling four and the rest was AI. Were there eight people on stage?
No, but the other characters were supposed to be controlled by other players.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, see, this has actually confused me in a lot of trailers. We talked very briefly about this just before we came on air, about so much co-op promo in all of the conference, like, in general. Mm. And a lot of it, I was just like, oh, there's so much, like, multiplayer co-op, blah, 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 all the rest of it, and I just want to know, if I get on, can I be playing against the computer if I don't have three other friends online, or are all of these games just not going to be worth my while unless I have friends?
Yeah. And I don't, God damn it.
That came out wrong. I have lots of friends. You know what I mean.
Okay, so The Division's set for a 2015 release. Assassin's Creed Unity comes out later this year, I think in the third quarter. And they also talked about The Crew, which is a racing game that comes out in November.
This looks really good.
You can apparently get from one side of the US coast to the other without any loading screens.
Yeah, races that take like 2 hours. I thought that was pretty cool.
I loved the landscape. Mm. Really liked this. I think, you know, compared to what other racing games they've got released, this looks pretty... Yeah, this was way better than some others that launched.
Forza.
Yeah.
We're talking about all the announcements that happened at E3 2014. You're listening to Zed Games. We're just going to hear a track now and return with news from Sony.
Hello and welcome back to Zed Games. You just heard Peter McConnell with Bone Wagon, which is from the soundtrack to Grim Fandango, a classic adventure game which Sony just announced at E3 is being remastered and remade and beginning exclusively on the PS4.
And the PS Vita.
And PS Vita, yes. And will be coming out on other consoles later at some point.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one. Other news that Sony dropped... probably most notably was the Grand Theft Auto 5 announcement that's coming to PS4 in the third quarter of this year. Mm-hmm. Rockstar then later went on to confirm Xbox One and the PC will also be getting releases.
The initial outrage that people thought it was a PlayStation 4 exclusive was very funny.
I mean, that's insane that people genuinely thought Rockstar would be that dumb.
It's never going
to
happen.
They're not going to leave money on the table.
No, I blame Sony's just presentation in general for that, because they made a very clear point of saying everything that we're bringing to you tonight is PS exclusive, or it's you know, DLC that's exclusive to us, or we're launching it first, and they were just us, us, us,
I don't know if you can blame them for that, because I think that was their intention.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean. I didn't like that.
Man, because they talked about all this other crap that wasn't games for a while, and as soon as the new Sony USA head came out, the press conference just went to a halt. Like,
didn't it just?
Yeah, they talked about the PlayStation Vita TV, which is coming to Australia. They talked about this new Powers television series that's exclusive to the PlayStation Network. Then they even brought out Brian Michael Bendis, who's the creator of the Powers comic book, to talk about for about 5 minutes. And I'm a Bendis fan. I love his work, but he just did not belong there.
No, because what pissed me off is that their opening sentence was that we're all about the gaming community and the gamers.
The
and we're here for the players and the gamers, and that's it. Yeah. And then they contradicted themselves half an hour in and talked about their entertainment system and their Sony compatible TVs.
Well,
and blah,
at
blah,
least
blah, blah, blah.
Last year they did a better job than Microsoft. So, you know, it's like they just sort of balanced it out.
Yeah, that's
between
how I feel.
The 2 years. They could have done worse.
Because this year they did worse.
But no, not much speak of VR, which I was kind of expecting from Someone.
They did name drop the Morpheus, and they said that the Morpheus is going to be playable on the floor at E3, so consumers...
But that's it.
Yeah.
So Uncharted 4, does anybody care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was not expecting that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just thought Uncharted was done.
Yeah. I kind of had this... I also the same. Yeah. I didn't think there'd be a fourth. They've just brought it back to life again.
So we didn't see much. We just saw the name of it, which is A Thief's Tale, and we've got a brief voiceover. And it's going to star, Nathan Drake and Sully
as well.
Sort
of whinging about being old or something.
Yeah, well,
at least they're aging him appropriately. Yeah. I love
but
it.
But it's called A Thief's End, so, it leads me to believe it might be the conclusion to at least Nathan Drake.
Leads you to believe that, but I don't know. No. I don't know.
No. And other big news they said was about Bloodborne, previously known as Project Beast, and that's by From Software, who are the studio behind Dark Souls.
And it basically looks entirely like a Souls game.
Yeah. So that's going to be a PS4 exclusive happening in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And Little Big Planet to contrast, which looks adorable.
Yeah, he's got friends. Oddsock, Toggle, and Swoop.
And they look very, very cute. Oddsock was like a little dog sort of thing, and he was totally my favourite from that.
Oh, look, the people that they had actually on stage playing it were terrible at playing the game, but that kind of just made it really entertaining. Mm.
Yeah, well, that's the big thing that I found endearing about that, the fact that they weren't acing of the game like an E3 show-off thing.
It's like they'd never picked up a controller before.
and it made me think that, hey, these guys are actually playing the game as opposed to, when we saw The Division or Rainbow Six, when it was obviously the perfect playthrough to demonstrate what the ideal run would be.
Mm. Yep.
Although they didn't say very much about it, we did see an announcement for Dead Island 2, which I wouldn't be interested in, except this one's not being made by Techland. It's being made by Jaeger, who made Spec Ops The Line, which was surprisingly good. Yeah, it's set in LA, which is not an island.
Also,
but who cares?
Yeah.
Man, their trailers are so freaking catchy.
It was a very good trailer.
All I've got stuck in my head now is that I'm the barman about to blow up song because it was so damn catchy.
For reference, everyone, it's basically this guy blasting this music through his iPod headphones, just running down the street and hitting on some chick, and then he progressively, slowly decomposes and turns into a zombie halfway through it, and that's sort of it. It was really funny, really catchy, and the song was pretty great.
Yeah.
So what does that leave? Abzu?
Yeah.
Which is a new game from the creators of Journey, which is set underwater, and there's diving in whales, and that's about all we know.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah, that's
it's
it.
Just going to be beautiful, beautiful soundtrack and incredible artwork. Mm. It'll be lovely.
I love underwater levels in games.
We also learned that Magic 2 is going to be a PS4 exclusive.
For a brief while, and then it's coming to PC.
Yep. And Ratchet & Clank HD remake for the PS4 as well.
So.
Oh, yep. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, they showed off some Mortal Kombat gameplay.
Brutality to the max.
Some of the most violent stuff I've ever seen. And you know what? The theme of the entire E3 was ultra-violence, really.
There was a lot of R18 there.
You say that because you didn't watch the Nintendo conference.
That's right.
Which was just adorable from beginning
lovely.
To end.
Lovely. Oh, Zelda.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about
amazing.
That now?
Yes, let's talk about that now. What was your highlight of the Nintendo conference, Jody?
Well, as I already mentioned Splatoon, which was my overall highlight, but I did really like Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yep.
Oh, that was cute.
The sort of Kirby's Epic Yarn with Yoshi in a world where everything is made of wool, including Yoshi, and you can unravel these wool blocks and eat them and then poop them out as balls of yarn and then use those to attack
to
things.
To do things.
Yeah, yeah, throw them around the screen. It's,
Yoshi's
it's
New Island left such a bad taste in my mouth and I'm not sure how I feel about that, but it does look super cute.
Yeah.
But so do all of the Nintendo trailers.
Yeah, but this is especially.
Yeah,
this is
it is, yeah.
Like hyperglycemic refined
Yoshi's
sugar.
Adorable anyway.
Super cute. The one thing they showed that was violent and not super cute was Bayonetta 2, which looks like rubbish, so let's move on. It was terrible. It looked so
bad. It didn't particularly look like the first Bayonetta. It looked like the first Bayonetta, but on crack, and graphically, I want to say tacky?
Yeah, it was
cheap.
Really
the first
tacky.
Already was, but it looked worse, so that's a shame.
Yeah, so what was your highlight of the Nintendo conference?
Zelda.
Yeah, it was.
And it looked absolutely fantastic. We knew that Zelda U was coming, and, this looks so open world. The environments look huge, and Link is, changed a bunch.
Looks kind of even more androgynous.
Kind of like a
possible.
Girl, a little bit, which is fine. That's cool, too. Maybe that they could actually have it so that Link could be a girl. I don't think Nintendo will ever do that, but I feel like they could quite easily just give you an option in the menu to make him a girl, because he looks, half-half anyway. Colors, super bright, kind of Wind Waker bright. Epona was there. Everything, like all the action looked super intense and actually like quite serious. It didn't look as childish as, say, like Skyward Sword kind of looked. So overall, I was blown away. It was more than I expected.
Yeah. Mm. Open world Zelda. I mean, that's all I need to know.
Yeah. They even did the Skyrim thing. They show you Link on a horse, and then there's mountains in the distance, and they say, and you can go to those mountains. And they didn't say, like in Skyrim. Everyone was thinking it.
Yeah. It actually makes buying a Wii U like a conceivable prospect for me now.
I will. For Zelda, that will be when I buy my Wii U.
What about the other Zelda game they showed, Hyrule Warriors? Were you interested in that?
Hyrule Warriors technically isn't a Zelda game.
It's about Link and
it is. It's got Zelda
characters.
Stuff in it, but it's not technically like a Zelda game, like not a story-based Zelda game. It has all the characters. but no, it's not something I particularly care about because it's really just an action game. Yeah. Like this doesn't seem to have a lot of substance, but I still feel like they put a lot of effort into it. It's made by the same people who make Dynasty Warriors?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm not a huge fan of Dynasty Warriors, but either way, I probably won't play it, but I was still impressed by the way that it looked.
They also showed Super Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. And you can bring your avatar into Super Smash Brothers now, which is cool.
Yeah, you can beat up your friends and they look like your friends look, sort of. So
it's
cool.
Everyone's dream come
that
true.
Sounds cool to me. I like the fact that you'll be able to use GameCube controllers as well. They announced the adapter to plug your GameCube controller into the Wii U. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. Am I the only one who's excited
about
that?
Well, that's important for Super Smash Bros., but prior to that, eh.
Yeah. All right. Anything else from Nintendo that we want to talk about quickly before we wrap up, guys?
They did show off the Amiibos, which are the new figurines, the Skylander-style thing that you can tap on your Wii U gamepad and then it will somehow influence the game. They showed Mario's figurine being tapped on the gamepad and suddenly Mario is fighting alongside you in Super Smash Bros. Apparently they're going to be compatible with other games like Mario Kart 8 and Mario Party 10. But in what way? They've been kind of vague. Are they just going to unlock characters or
power them up? I'm of the impression that they just unlock characters.
But surely Mario is already unlocked in Super Smash Bros. And you don't need to buy him separately.
Yeah, so you just don't need Mario. But I think that seems like what it is because they didn't say that they just jump right into the game. And I kind of doubt that they are able to do that without a loading screen of some kind. But
who
I don't,
can say?
Yeah, we
don't
know.
Really explain it.
All right, well, that's about all we have time for this episode of Zed Games. E3 does continue through the week, so it's likely that we'll have more news to report on next week when we return at the same time.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep talking about it.
Yeah. Next week, as well as talking about the loose ends of E3, Jody, you have a game review for us?
Yeah, I've been playing Murdered Soul Suspect, the ghost detective game where you can possess a cat.
Me too.
Yes.
What? As a cat.
You can possess a cat. You're also a guy in a trilby the rest of the time.
Can't wait for next week.
Sounds good. All right, we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.